should invest in Crowder Road.
And that was Sweet Neocon by the Rolling Stones, and this is Radio Free Thinker on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Ethan. I am the free thinking historian, and I am joined, of course, with Don.
Hello, I'm Don, the political science philosopher, and we have a special treat for you today. We have another dispatch from our roving reporter, Rob.
Dispatches from a skeptical traveler. The influence of the Catholic Church is apparent everywhere in Poland. Most large cities have a number of well-maintained historic churches. Nearly every village, even the tiniest two-farm burg, has a church in the middle, binding the communities together. One such church is the Cathedral at Oliwa, built by monks centuries ago. They crafted it carefully and masterfully, and the crowning achievement is a massive pipe organ integrated into a complex mechanism of angel automata that ring bells and play trumpets. I came to listen to a concert of the organ, and it was bone-thunderingly loud, and just listen to this recording I made, which hardly does it justice. When the nuns came by afterwards to collect donations, I gladly gave money to encourage the upkeep of this amazing instrument. I got to thinking, what about non-religious wonders? Learning even the most basic science opens up a whole new way of appreciating the world. I listened to the organ and enjoyed the music, but I could picture the valves and gears and sound waves afterwards, not to mention consider the reactions going on in my brain. All these cool things to think about, because I've tried to get a better understanding of nature. Where are the temples of science where everyone can go and experience the rapture of discovery? The closest thing I can think of are science centers. Unfortunately, they're still considered to be no more than glorified playgrounds for kids to go and tinker with weird contraptions. Though places like Science World and the Exploratorium are doing more to encourage adults to come and play too. What is science if not the joy of discovery? Imagine what it'd be like if people flocked to science centers, eager to experience the rumbling sound waves of a massive pipe organ, followed by a leisurely attempt at some fun experiments. Imagine if science centers organized community events and were as widespread as churches. If we really want people to recognize the wonder of a scientific worldview, we need to build truly inspiring palaces of reason and let everyone share in the experience. Tune in next week for another dispatch from a skeptical traveler.
And we're back. And look, Rob's actually here this time.
Hello, everybody.
Spooky.
I am back from the UK and Poland.
Did you have a good time?
Yes, I had an excellent time.
So are they as a skeptic over there as we are here?
They are way more skeptical. I actually recorded a couple of interviews with people that'll be coming up on the show.
Is it true that they don't actually think North America exists, that it's just some kind of conspiracy out there?
Well, there's probably a few people there. It's not all good. As you saw in the recent election, they gave the BNP a seat in the parliament.
BNP? What's the BNP?
The British National Party, one of the most...
What are you, anti-British?
No, but they're anti almost everything. They're a white supremacist Christian fundamentalist party that doesn't think anyone white should be in parliament and things like that. And,
why are those neocons so wrong?
Well, speaking of neocons... I actually had the pleasure of meeting someone who was promoting the BNP while I was up in Durham. He was handing out pamphlets, and I engaged him in some friendly conversation and walked away in disgust after about a minute because he irritated me so much.
You didn't record that, though, did you?
No, I did not. I did not have my recording device with me. Unfortunately, it would not have been allowed to be on the air, I think.
Wow. So someone tell us what happened on this day in history.
Well, I'll start off. Since we're talking about racists in England, just a curious note I noticed. It was in 1793 that the Act Against Slavery was passed by the Upper House of the Upper Canada, because Canada didn't exist then, but it was like, you know, Ontario. It would be basically outlawing slavery, and anyone who was enslaved still would be a slave until they died, but you couldn't buy a new one and that kind of thing, which was like almost a decade before England had done it and almost half a century before the Americans did it. You know, it's really funny how tough, you know, black people, because they made up the majority of slaves, people of African origin, had it in North America.
Well, that's pretty cool. And actually on a similar topic, in you don't actually have to be a racist person in order to be religious, as evidenced by on this day in history, in 1978, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints repealed a 148-year-old policy that excluded black men from becoming priests, officially opening its priesthood to all worthy men.
Well, very good for them, I guess.
I believe 248 years is the founding of the Church of Latter-day Saints. So, yeah, well, you know, it's amazing how, you know, and we'll be talking a bit more about this later, about how, you know, in religion, there are things that are written in stone that they cannot ever be changed until for some political reason or what have you, they have to change.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. Interesting you should mention political change, because have you guys heard that the Federal Conservative Party of Canada has apparently reversed their policy on harm reduction with relating to drug use? They've actually started a program, well, they're funding a program called SALOME, S-A-L-O-M-E, the study to assess long-term opioid medication effectiveness, which is essentially, it's a program where they're going to give free heroin to addicts in Vancouver and Montreal.
Holy cow.
Now, it's an interesting program, and I'll be curious to see how that happens, but what's interesting to me the most is this is a complete reversal on their policy up to this day. I mean, I know our Vancouver listeners know that they've been campaigning to shut down Insight, which for our non-Vancouver listeners is a place where addicts can get clean needles and dispose of dirty ones safely.
Yeah, it's a safe injection site that's been a project in Vancouver for quite a long time.
But they don't give away any free drugs there. You have to bring your own, so to speak.
Yeah.
And they encourage, I mean, one of the big things about Insight is they try and encourage people to get off of the hard drugs, to get into methadone, to break their habit. But if they do inject and something goes wrong, there are medical people there, the needle exchange. So this SALOME is similar but different.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, when people often talk about Insight, when they're trying to argue against it, they often misrepresent it as giving away free drugs. But that's not what it does. This is what this study does. It gives away free heroin.
Is it unlimited? Do you know if they're just going to give it to anybody who asks?
Have you actually been able to find much about it at all?
Well, no, Don. See, that's interesting. There's very little information about this trial. And my only conclusion is that the Conservative government does not want people to know about this.
You know, that's funny, because when I read about this, the first thing I went to is I went to the government agency that was supposedly funding this, and there was nothing on it. I went to a lot of other agencies and even actually institutions that are supposedly part of this, and nowhere is there a press release, a little note saying, hey, we're doing this. The media reports have interviews with people who would know this stuff. So, I mean, it's a real thing. I'm not trying to say there's a conspiracy out there. But I think you're pointing out right.
Or is it?
Yeah. But I think you're right there.
Where did you find out about SALOME?
Well, I found this on an article on the Globe and Mail. And I also was able to find a few other articles on other news agencies. But there was no official announcement, as far as I know. You know, being good skeptics, if the Federal Conservatives issue a statement tomorrow, it might be a little bit late, but better late than never.
If any of our listeners do know about this, please do email us and tell us what you know about it at radio.freethinker@gmail.com.
We'll probably be doing another show about, you know, the justification for legalizing or allowing for this type of thing. I shouldn't say legalizing, that's the wrong word I meant, but helping to deal with drug addicts in this way. And I'm sure it's quite an interesting debate to be had.
Yeah.
Right, right. And you can also you can follow this blog on ubcfreethinkers.blogspot.com, where we'll be posting these show notes, and you can read the links to the articles on your own. So let's go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Steve Nash. You're listening to CITR 101.9, the home of the UBC Thunderbirds.
And we're back. That was really quick. So I also want to remind our listeners that there are a couple events coming up in Vancouver. The first one is today, June 9th, 7:30, at the Railway Club. It's Skeptics in the Pub. It's from 7:30 to 10:30, and ourselves, the Radio Freethinker people, will be there, and so come out and check things out.
Meet and greet, maybe come on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be bringing my recorder, so we'll
As will I.
Excellent. And on June 16th, next week, is Café Scientifique at the Railway Club, and that's at 6:30 to 9:30. And again, if you check out our blog, you can find more information on these two items. Well, we should be going to an interview we have that our friend Elon did with John Abrams. He's the host of The Reality Check and president of Ottawa Skeptics.
Hey, everyone. It's Elon. If you haven't noticed, I haven't been on the show lately. I've been in Ottawa for the past month and a half. And while I've been here, I've been spending some time with the Ottawa Skeptics Club, which is, they've been around about as long as, or longer than the UBC Freethinkers Club, and they're doing really well themselves. And I happen to have the president of the Ottawa Skeptics Club, Jonathan Abrams, here. We're going to have a little chat with him.
Can I say one thing first? We're not just the Ottawa Skeptics Club. We're a full-fledged organization called Ottawa Skeptics.
Oh, my goodness. Well, then maybe you've just made the first question easy. What's the difference? What do you mean exactly?
Well, we are a club as well, in that we have a group of like-minded people that get together and vent about pseudoscience and irrationality and that sort of thing. But we do more than that as well. We also engage the community and promote critical thinking and good science as well. And we investigate local claims. And so we also run a website, autoskeptics.org, where we are a resource for people around the world and the local community. And we also record a weekly podcast. I don't think a typical club does all that.
Well, we're trying here at the UBC Freethinkers Club. But okay, so John, I was just curious. I thought our listeners might be interested to know what a successful skeptics organization such as yourself, you know, how does it come to be? What kinds of things do you do? So maybe you could start by telling us, you know, what gave you the idea to start this club? When did it happen?
Well, it all started when I was listening to another podcast, a skeptics podcast called Skeptics Guide to the Universe. And they were having an episode where they were discussing about how they started the New England Skeptical Society, which the members of that podcast are members of. And they just got together once and they didn't know what they were doing. I'm like, hey, I can do that. I can get together with people and not know what I'm doing. So I did just that. I sent out an email to a local quote unquote Brights meetup group mailing list and asked people if they were interested in doing a skeptics group. And so we met in someone's living room and we basically just talked about what we were looking for in a local group. And it just kind of went on from there. We developed, you know, a mission statement, a set of goals, a name. The first thing, of course, on the agenda was coming up with a good name.
How long did it take to come up with Ottawa Skeptics?
Well,
days.
Well, the initial name is like, okay, so what should be the name for the Ottawa Skeptics group? And so I had like a list of like 50 different names, and we went down all of them, and they all had like clever acronyms and the like, but we just decided, well, Ottawa Skeptics is the most obvious one for a good reason. It's short, to the point. People understand what we're getting at.
So I guess the next main thing is like, what exactly do you guys do? The Ottawa Skeptics Club, you walk around and be skeptical of things?
Well, yeah. Well, we have certain things that we do. We run a website. We have articles that are contributed on a regular basis.
Can you give an example? Like, what types of things are your articles about?
We do articles on all sorts of range of topics. Like, for example, there is an article recently done about cold effects, where a member by the name of Barry Green went in depth into the studies behind cold effects. Cold effects being a popular cold medication in Canada that's sold over the counter, and it's a bit dubious in their claims behind it, claiming there's no side effects and it's all natural, and it's not approved for sale in the States by the FDA. Yet they have big endorsement from the guys like Don Cherry saying this works and, you know, take it on the first signs of cold. Well, and the investigation by Barry showed that the studies that they claim prove that cold effects works aren't quite up to scratch exactly.
Right. So there's actually a few different things you guys have investigated that I wanted to ask you about. But first, I had a more general question. The name Ottawa Skeptics, just like our UBC Freethinkers Club name, might make people not understand exactly what the club's about. Like, for example, has anyone ever gone up to you and said, like, oh, you guys are skeptics, you're negative, you're like cynics? Do you ever get that response from your name?
Right. So when people hear skeptic, they immediately associate that with you do not believe, right? Which is true to a degree. We don't believe in everything. That's the whole point, is that we need evidence in order to believe. So once you explain to the person that it's a positive thing where you believe things that which have scientific evidence, and it's a specific form of skepticism called scientific skepticism, where science is the light that leads the way. And people will nod their head and eventually get, oh, I see. Okay, so we're skeptical of claims that violate known science.
Yeah, but so, you're not like all depressed people. You're having fun when you do it.
Of course not. It's a blast doing all this kind of stuff. It's interesting. There's always new things to learn and discover. Picking various pseudosciences is a very fun way to learn about science. You want to find out why is this not true. So you go and you research
it. Maybe give an example.
And you discuss it. So I think you were probably angling at one of our big successes, which was the investigation of a local perpetual motion machine inventor, where, oh, you didn't even know that. Okay, cool.
That's awesome.
Well, there is, it was about a year ago around this time when the Toronto Star had a feature article in their science section, which is kind of humorous, about a inventor in Ottawa who claims to have a machine which produces more energy than it uses, which is another term for a perpetual motion machine.
Which is against the laws of physics, right?
As far as, it's against the laws of thermodynamics, which is, yeah.
We respect those laws here, right?
Yeah, in this house, we respect the laws of thermodynamics. So immediately, I Googled this guy's name. I found his phone number, and I called him right up. And he was more than willing to let us see his device. So a group of us from Ottawa Skeptics went and saw his device. He gave us a demonstration. It was this crazy contraption that had a metal wheel attached to a motor. The motor was plugged into the wall, and that wheel had a bunch of magnets glued to the inside rim.
I'm thinking of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids in that guy's basement where he made the shrinking machine.
Yeah, it's a definitely this guy was not following standard safety measures, and so he had this wheel, and then when you turn the machine on, the wheel would spin really fast, and it had these magnets glued into it, and these magnets are kind of heavy. So you can imagine that if the glue came off at all, the magnets would go flying and take someone's head off. So it was a bit of a scary experience. But through our investigations of his device, we eventually figured out what was actually going on, and it turns out it's not perpetual motion. He was just misinterpreting what he was seeing, where he turned the machine on, the motor would spin at a certain rate, he flicked some switches, the motor would spin up, the wheel would spin faster, yet the draw on the electricity from the wall would go down. So he thinks, well, see, the energy's going down and it's speeding up faster, therefore you're getting more out of it than is coming in. But no, what's actually going on is resistance is being taken away when he flips his switches and the like. So it starts to get more in depth here, and this is where I get out of my league and where other members of Auto Skeptics would take over in explaining it. But it was very cool, and we...
Basically, you were able to learn about motion and how thermodynamics works at the same time, show that what he was claiming couldn't have been true.
Yeah, and we also like learned lots about motors, and this is all available on our website. We have a good article about it. And then when there was a follow-up article by the Toronto Star by the same journalist, we got a mention in it. We were the token skeptics, which is always fun.
Was this article like explaining that what he did wasn't true? Did he actually change his mind once you explained it to him?
No, he's still out there. He's recently challenged us to come take a look at his latest version of his invention. Yet he has not done what we have recommended to him, which is measure the output power as well as the input power. He's just looking at the speed, but that does not represent the power. And when you have something spinning, the power is called torque. You know, and so he's not measuring the key items to prove that you have
I guess it's tough to get people to sort of admit that what they were claiming is wrong.
Well, when we went to investigate it, we spent a good amount of time sitting there trying to explain to him why you cannot violate the laws of thermodynamics. Now, he refused to call his creation a perpetual motion machine because he's smart enough to know that there's no such thing as perpetual motion machines. But obviously, he was not smart enough to realize that what he was claiming was, in fact, a perpetual motion machine and why it can't exist. And so eventually, we got to the point where he's saying, well, it's my opinion that it's working this way. And we're like, okay. Fine, it's your opinion.
Not exactly the scientific method at work. But anyways, we are already running short on time, and I wanted to ask you about another fun investigation you did, or fun thing your club did with when the psychic Sylvia Brown came to town. I heard that you guys did something really cool there.
Yeah, we got the idea from the Nova Scotia skeptics out there. I forget their name. I apologize for that.
Actually, before you say, I should probably, so James Randi doesn't get mad at me, I mean the alleged psychic Sylvia Brown.
Right, the supposed, the claimed psychic. So we basically just handed out flyers outside the National Arts Center where she was appearing here in Ottawa, and these flyers just explained how to be a psychic. So it said on the front, how to be a psychic. So we figured people attending the show would also want to know how to be a psychic, and they took it with gusto, and in there it explained how to do cold readings pretty much, which is the standard technique that psychics use in order to read people's minds.
I think we talked about that on an earlier episode of our show. Download the podcast, everybody.
Yes.
Like episode one or two, actually.
Yeah, we've also discussed in our podcast, too, our podcast being The Reality Check. I have to plug that as well.
Certainly.
If you don't mind.
I love The Reality Check, and I'm not just saying that because you're on the show. It's one of my favorite skeptic podcasts, and it's amazing that you guys were able to put this together, and it sounds really professional. It's a really cool show.
And as a plug, Elon was a guest host on our show, episode 41, I believe.
Yeah, so if you guys want to hear more of John and I and some other skeptics chatting, download this week's episode of The Reality Check. You can search for it on iTunes, and it was a lot of fun. And now we're happy to have you on our show.
Yeah, well, it's good to be on the show. I've heard quite a few episodes, and I enjoy your show quite a bit.
All right, well, keep up the good work at Ottawa Skeptics, John, and let us know if you do anything else interesting. We might want to interview you again.
Sure, yeah, it'd be fun.
Cool. Okay, back to you guys in Vancouver.
Okay, so thanks, Elon, and thanks, John. That episode they're talking about will be available later this week. So let's go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Car-free Vancouver Day is fast approaching. On Sunday, June 14th, Vancouver's favorite volunteer-run festival will launch the summer with Fun for Free at four simultaneous locations. Festivals will be happening on Commercial Drive between 1st Avenue and Venables, on Main Street between 12th and 25th Avenues, in the West End along Denman Street, and throughout Kitsilano at dozens of block parties. The streets will be closed between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. Bands will be playing, kids will be dancing, and all manner of culture will explode into summer. More information is available at www.carfreevancouver.org. And remember, please don't drive to the car-free festivals.
Okay, and we're back. So, Don, tell us about the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, well, you know, going on with the whole idea, you know, religion that's written in stone until it becomes politically expedient to change it. The Dalai Lama is announced, or at least it's rumored, because there's been some confusion about this, they're changing the way they're selecting the next Dalai Lama. Now, in that particular Buddhist tradition.
Doesn't it normally have something to do with reincarnation and how someone's born and when they're
exactly
born?
So the whole idea is that the Dalai Lama dies, and then they go and they look for someone who was born when the Dalai Lama dies, who is the reincarnated spirit. And usually it's about 1 to 4 years before they select a new Dalai Lama, and the kid grows up and becomes a Dalai Lama.
So there could be a period where there's no Dalai Lama.
And there has been several. In fact, there has never been a period where there hasn't been not a Dalai Lama. Now, let me state that again.
Clearly, try not to use a triple negative.
between Dalai Lamas, there has always been a period where there was no Dalai Lama.
Okay.
And it's just not the Dalai Lama. There's actually another Lama. There's several, but another one called the Pension Lama, which is important because the Chinese government...
He's the old Lama that gets a pension from the government.
You're funny.
I'm from Britain. They have a different sense of humor there.
So the Pension Lama was... was something that the Chinese government was worried about, because they've seen what happened to the Dalai Lama. The old pension lama had died, so the Chinese government had stepped in and, using some historical precedents from the Quan Dynasty or something like that, said, listen, we have a right to select who's going to be the next pension lama. And they selected a gentleman. The Dalai Lama, using more traditional, also selected one, so there was actually two pension lamas sort of at the same time. Now, of course, the one that the Dalai Lama had nominated has disappeared, and his family has disappeared, and is in quote-unquote protective custody by the Chinese government.
Chinese government, famous for blocking the entire internet just last week.
Yes. So in 2007, the Chinese government did an act about how they are going to select the next Tibetan Dalai Lama, the next reincarnation. To preempt that, the Dalai Lama, the current one, Tenzin, I forget what his real name is, but the 14th Dalai Lama, the current
cool looking
one,
dude.
The current one is going to select his own, because he has political weight, capital, that if he says this is the Dalai Lama, he can get enough international support to do it. Whereas once he's died, they're worried that the international support they've built up, all the celebrities who follow him. So he says, screw the tradition. We're just going to pick someone. He's not really going to be a reincarnation of me, because obviously I'm going to be alive to pick him. But it's only religion.
Whoa.
Wow, that's surprising. Refreshing, I guess, actually, in some ways, to hear from a spiritual leader. But,
he's always been pretty supportive of scientific studies and reasoning. But
and this Lama has shown some, well, I'd say considerable effort to, you know, work with China. He's not as militant as some of the other previous Lamas have been.
No, actually, and actually the big thing that makes him such a difficulty is the fact that he comes from Tibet, and Tibet is kind of like the Chinese version of Quebec. They're part of the country, but they're not really a willing part of the country, so there's a lot of tension there, and he's a focus for all that separatist agitation.
Although he has stated that he will not support violent opposition to the Chinese government.
No, not only that, with the recent talks they had over the Olympics, because there was a lot of resistance, he kept saying, you know, I don't actually want an independent Tibet. We just want more autonomy, and I don't even necessarily want to be the head of it, although that's a whole other topic for another show about Tibetan independence. But no, again, it's just interesting how, you know, for political reasons, this belief system has effectively made itself null and void. I mean, the whole point of one of the Buddhist tradition is this thing that's called the mind stream, right? Which is this consciousness that travels throughout time. It's the nirvana, the whole point of being. And I don't know. I thought it was interesting.
Well, you know, like, I've always maintained that a lot of religious authority is actually political authority in disguise. I think that we've noticed in the past that a lot of powerful leaders will often cloak themselves. They'll say, you know, I'm actually a god, or if not, they're not claiming to be a god, they'll say, I'm the medium for God to talk to you. You know, Rob, you were just in the UK, and their whole church is based around that idea.
Yes, yes. And actually, it's not just religious leaders, a lot of political leaders sometimes, you know, I mean, let's not forget the divine right of kings back in the day.
Right.
And let's look down the just ousted government of the United States, some might argue, who is also exercising some form of the divine right of kings. But the idea of political and religious leaders being the incarnations of some religious being or spirit is not completely out of the ordinary, and it pulls a lot of weight with a lot of people, which is a way of getting more people to subscribe to your political view.
Exactly.
You know, I think going back to what you were saying earlier, Ethan, about how the Dalai Lama has actually made a big shift in the whole Buddhist mentality. And actually, it brings up a very interesting thing for people, especially like me, who's very much, you know, a hardcore atheist and do not believe in religion. But the Dalai Lama almost falls into an area of spiritualism, because he doesn't really believe in a divine God or anything like that. He's very much of a let's be peaceful, let's be happy. He does believe in some pretty goofy things, or goofy by my standards, about
or at least supports some pretty goofy things. Who knows if he believes in them now? I mean,
well, that's
obviously they're editable.
Well, that's just kind of getting back. Like, he's shown the kind of what's the word? Pragmatic thinking about religion. You know, he's trying to get a purpose achieved, and he's gonna, if his religion starts, you know, getting in the way, he's gonna go, well, I'm Dalai Lama, And yeah. There it goes, right? So
true. And but again,
In the same way that King Henry said, well, this is getting in the way. I want a divorce. I'm going to form my own church.
Yeah.
Well, but you see, that's the thing, too. It doesn't even really need to be a church. I mean, one of the other things that we might talk about later is the whole idea of North Korea and the cult of personality, which, again, it's beliefs in things without necessarily having the same trappings of religion. But I don't know.
But they are kind of religious. I mean, you can see some of these ads for Kim Jong-il treating him as, you know, the great leader, playing music and whatnot. But I think
we're running out of time, so let's get a skeptical quote in there.
All right. This is a quote from the Dalai Lama about science and its effect on religion. If science proves some belief of Buddhism wrong, then Buddhism will have to change. In my view, science and Buddhism share a search for the truth and for understanding reality. By learning from science about aspects of reality where its understanding may be more advanced.
The Dalai Lama.
Excellent.
Well, I just want to remind our listeners, remember, radio.freethinker@gmail.com, email us. Check out our blog at ubcfreethinkers.blogspot.com. Download our podcast on iTunes or at www.citr.ca. And this is Ethan, your freethinking historian, saying goodnight.
This is Don, your philosophy historian, saying eyes open, minds on.
This is Rob, a wealthy young raconteur about town, saying, see you tonight at the Railway Club for Skeptics in the Pub.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Then there's the utter misery that is college radio, where they apparently just let any bewildered freshman wander into the booth and try to run a radio station. Campus Outreach is looking for... Hang on. College radio can pretty much be summed up in five words.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Vegetables, I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
Sprouts, it's your 75-cent coffee fix in the sub. It's your source for reasonably priced, creatively named stew and vegan brownies. It's your purveyor of bicycle-delivered local produce. It's also a place where volunteers can realize their vision of responsible business and where like-minded students can explore UBC's food systems. Hark! Sprouts is currently accepting applications for next year's executive board and is encouraging ambitious, creative, and disciplined students from all faculties and year levels to apply. Come by Sprouts in the sub-basement to learn more about our projects and how to get involved.
I tried to kick the ball, but my tinny flew right off. I'm red as a beet, 'cause I'm so embarrassed.
Girls and Roses, Vancouver's only all-girls Guns N' Roses tribute. We'll be playing at the Pitt Pub on UBC campus with special guests. Vancouver's very own first-time flyer. Friday, June 5th will be a rock extravaganza you won't want to miss. Montreal's house DJ Carl B will be spinning to the close of the night. Tickets are available at clubzone.com, Zulu Records, High Life World Music, and Yale Town Waves Coffee. On Fridays will be a ticket booth outside the sub at UBC. All proceeds will support Khan's Ride to Conquer Cancer benefiting BC Cancer Foundation.
Welcome to the jungle!
She's won a Juno, been shortlisted for the Polaris Prize, and is a founding member of one of the most legendary bands in Canadian indie rock history. Oh, and her new record? It's pretty amazing. On Sunday, June 14th, AMS Events and CITR present Julie Doiron. Doors at 8 p.m., show at 9 p.m., tickets available at Ticketweb, Red Cat, Zulu, and Outpost. Or buy tickets online at www.ticketweb.ca. Julie Doiron, the special guest from Halifax, Dog Day. Sunday, June 14th at the Biltmore Cabaret, 395 Kingsway. Brought to you by CITR 101.9 FM and AMS Events.
Walk with a hand out your back, and you walk with your hand in my body.